Wir haben aus zwei Bibelstellen,
we have already heard from two scriptures this morning.
Und ich muss noch
an and I still have to think of last night in a very special way.
An das Wort aus
the word from 1 Corinthians.
Dass wir Gottes verborgene,
that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Something that was hidden, mysterious, and yet made known. We know in the first generation it was Paul to whom God could reveal so many things that he did not know and that others did not know either. And he could not boast that he somehow learned them by knowledge, but by revelation it all came to him. The scriptures were known by many, Gamaliel, at whose feet Paul sat, and many others too. But the moment the Lord appeared to him and placed a calling, a task in his life, everything became completely different. The connection with God was made, and we know it is written in the New Testament, holy men spake, driven by the Holy Spirit. They were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if we look at the apostles, especially Paul, a man to whom God gave such grace that he wrote most of all the letters about the rapture, about all the things that concerned the church. And here, we have all read along, he is exhorting the church. He wanted them to present Christ as a chaste virgin. He didn't want anyone to be left behind. He wanted all to be prepared for the glorious day. And therefore he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, yes, when all these things are there, he continues and says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. This word, like-minded, whose mind? His, mine, yours? No. Here is the answer in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind, not become one with me, with you, with someone else, or knowledge here or there, becoming one with Christ, in his word, in his spirit, in the revelation of his word, through his spirit. And then it actually continues with verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Recently, I had to say a few times, Lord, where I have imposed my will and have not been willing to respond to your will, may you forgive and have mercy. One can say with one's mouth, Lord, your will be done, and yet, in fact, not be willing to do the will of God. And as Brother Schneider so beautifully put it, it is necessary to respond to the word that it may do for us what God has sent it to do. And we are convinced that it will not return void. It will accomplish what God has sent it to do. And when it says in the direct calling of Brother Branham, as John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. So we know that it is written, John said, he that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, he hears the voice of the bride, and he rejoices, because his task is fulfilled. When Eliezer was sent to fetch Isaac the bride, he asked God for mercy for his journey, and he was told one thing: do not take one of the women of the Canaanites. You know the story. We'll come back to that at some appropriate time. He went to the house where God had sent him, and he found the bride for Isaac. God had given grace to his journey to find a bride who was willing to go for her into an uncertainty. She did not know whom she would meet and what awaited her. But one thing was in her heart. She said, yes. And she was ready to go. That is the position of a bride soul. And when God had sent a message, then the echo must be there in us. And we say, yes, even if we don't yet know exactly what is coming, what we have to go through, what we will encounter, we said yes. And when Brother Schneider said that we would decide some things differently, that is certainly true for each one of us. But there is one decision we would make exactly as we have made it, the decision to consecrate our lives to God. We would make it the way we decided it, because God put it in our hearts. And every divine decision, we would make it the same way. Everything else must be left to God. I have only read very briefly from Romans 15, because it was also about comfort, about encouragement in the letter to the Philippians. I would like to read very briefly some verses from Romans 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification.
Ihm zum Besten, zu seiner Erbauung. Hier steht Förderung noch dahinter. Denn auch Christus.
For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You know, you and I, we can come to each other with our comfort, and the comfort is blown away by the wind. But when we come with a comfort from the Word of God, when we come to a sick person and say, Yes, you can believe. Maybe God will help. That is one thing. But if we can come and say, it is written, He bore our sicknesses, He bore our infirmities, He took our iniquities and our sins upon Himself, by His stripes we are healed, and it is written, I am the Lord, thy physician. Then we come not with our comfort, but with a comfort which the Word of God offers you and me. And then things look very different. Then comes faith, then comes confidence, then comes trust. And we realize, it was not the brother who spoke to me, but God used His mouth and spoke to me through His Word and through His Spirit and placed my feet on the ground of the Word of God. And now I go forward in faith. The comfort that the Holy Scriptures give us, that is the comfort that we all need. And thank God, there is absolutely not one situation, not one case that has been left out of the Scriptures. Sometimes we ask ourselves, and Brother Rus has mentioned the life of David very often. Psalms are read, and most of them were written by him, and you can't help but refer to them. But he had to go through so many ways and situations so that we can have the comfort that the Holy Scriptures give. God has ordered all things in a most wonderful way. Not one thing has been left out. Everywhere we find situations that apply to your life or mine, that grant you and me in the hour of trial a comfort that comes from the Holy Scripture. Perhaps if people still wanted to do their part, but what God does is well done. And he who trusts in him has built on no sand. It says so wonderfully here that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And it doesn't end here. It goes further. Praise be to the Lord. How wonderful is His Word! And I ask myself, does God's Word still overwhelm us? Does it have something to say to us? Does it move you and me in our hearts? Or do we just hear it and perceive it and let it pass us by? It is further written here, Now the God of patience and consolation. From whom does patience come? From whom comes consolation? From God. You and I, we brought nothing with us. We have received everything from God. And therefore, we heard already last night, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And that in this, that he has been gracious unto him. Now the God of patience and consolation, would you and I have been able to endure steadfastly to this day if God had not stood by us? Let us forget it. We have only to thank God and praise His name for what He has done and will continue to do by grace. Then it says, grant you, here it comes, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Brother Schneider read the word from Philippians, and there it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I didn't look for this scripture here, but I had it on my heart before. And I opened it before Brother Schneider came forward. And here are almost the same words, most certainly the same meaning. May he grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, not according to Brother Frank, Brother Russ, or Brother so-and-so, but according to Christ Jesus. And then comes the consequence, the answer, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, no matter how hard we try and want to have one-minded worship, unless the first part can be fulfilled among us, otherwise the second will fail. First, by the grace of God, we must have one mind among ourselves, according to Christ Jesus. And of him we have read, he made himself of no reputation, he humbled himself, he was obedient, obedient to the point of death. And then, if we have this mind of Jesus Christ, it will not be difficult for us to praise with one mouth the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this brings us to the word of introduction, Psalm 100. Rejoice in the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his face with joy. Know that the Lord is God. How one word has led into another. The thoughts are just so wonderful, as if God had already coordinated them in advance, put them together, planned them. And this I believe that the Holy Spirit leads. I believe that God doesn't just let coincidences happen somewhere. I believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't come here with a hello and say, God has given me this word and God has given me that word and the Holy Spirit told me this or that. We don't talk about things in that way. But we believe that these things happen and we feel and know that they happen. It is one thing to talk a lot about the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is quite another thing to be led by the Holy Spirit. You can speak much of things, but it is better when they are there and when the Holy Spirit, even the ministering brethren, can so coordinate with each other in the preaching of the word that it goes into the same direction, the same meaning, the same thoughts are dealt with and brought forth. Here we have read of the consolation which the Holy Scriptures offers us. In Philippians, is there any comfort of love? And so forth. Here we have read of the mind of Jesus in Philippians. And at the end, that we may with one mouth praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here with praising, it begins. And so we have heard it in the word of introduction. Here it's written, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. We are sometimes not good, unkind, when things do not suit us, and as they say in the vernacular, when something bugs him. That's how the people say. Then it's over with kindness. But the Lord is kind, good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. May our God be gracious to us in this hour. May praise pour forth to the glory of His holy name. We have not heard the words of God in vain. They have and will continue to minister to us what God has sent them to do. And we will be there by grace when the Lord calls His own. And I'm very grateful to God that I was allowed to see, and not only see, but to witness this very experience of the transformation and the rapture. I am very grateful for that. I know God's word is true. I believe it anyway, and had a certainty in my heart. But since the 1st of January this year, it is even more different, completely different. Once you have had such a supernatural experience with the Lord, no one can take it away from you. It remains with Him into eternity. May God have truly blessed us richly this morning through His precious and holy word. And brothers and sisters, if we want to worship the one true God together, let us have the mind of Jesus Christ in our hearts, so that our worship may also reach the throne of grace of our God. May it happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to our God. We have heard precious words again. I don't think it's necessary to say anything else. But when you sit and listen, then you can only rejoice in the Lord. And then you see how the Word so intertwines, whether we read it in the New Covenant or in the Old Covenant. And especially here, as it says so wonderfully, now the God of patience and consolation. Then I straightway thought of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 52, this wonderful statement, which here the Lord God Himself proclaims through the prophet. He says in verse 12, I, even I am He that comforteth you. That is so wonderful. Yes, that is the consolation. And Brother Frank has already expressed it so wonderfully. We can only comfort with human comfort, with human words. But here is the living God who comforts us with words of life, not with words that pass away like a breath or dissolve like a cloud. But the Lord God comforts His people with words of life, with words of comfort that endure for all eternity. That is the difference. Dear brothers and sisters, that became so great and so mighty to me, that His comfort is a lasting comfort, and it goes through the generations, through all generations from the beginning, and it has remained until our day. And for that, we can only thank God. Yes, He is our comfort. I am he that comforteth you. Yes, God himself has spoken this. And we see indeed, already in the Old Covenant, he comforted his chosen people. When we read here in chapter 51, he comforts his chosen people. There he speaks comforting words to his people and calls out to them these glorious words about what they should do and that they should fix their eyes on him. Dear brothers and sisters, we see that the same has been said for us in these days. And we too are to become of one mind. We are to become his mind. His mind. Yes, isn't that something precious? Oh, you know, that is very wonderful. Then another word became so great to me in Philippians, and that is holding forth the word of life. Yes, in verse 16, in Philippians 2, holding forth the word of life. Oh, how wonderful that we should hold fast to the word of life. And you know, the second word is in the Gospel of John, where the Lord himself tells us in chapter 15, when we open John, there are the same words written that the Lord Jesus says. It is his word that goes forth here. He says here, in verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you. Remember the word that I said unto you. We see that this is like a harmony. One is so wonderfully connected with the other. Hold fast to the word of life, says Paul to the Philippians. Here the Lord speaks. Remember the word that I said unto you. Is it necessary? I think if it was not necessary, it would not be written. Paul would not have taken it up. But also the Lord Jesus, he brought it to the attention of his disciples. He said, remember the word that I said unto you. This is very important, dear brothers and sisters. Not just any word, but his word we are to remember and hold fast. And I would like to emphasize this. He has placed his word on the lampstand in our day, and we are to hold fast to his word and remember it. And not only that, but take it to heart and do accordingly. When we read here in this word, he says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. You see, dear brothers and sisters, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't get around it. But the time has come for us to keep his word before us and for us to abide in his word. Otherwise, we will be thrown away and we will wither away. Those who do not abide in his word in these days wither and are thrown away, and they are gathered and thrown into the fire. That's why it is important that we fully observe his word, that we let ourselves be guided by it. And we heard it this morning in such a wonderful way. Yes, hold fast to the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That's it, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. This had been the desire of the Apostle Paul. He wanted the people of God to hold fast to the word of life, that he may rejoice, so that he would not have labored in vain. That's how it's probably written here. That I have not run in vain. That's it, brothers and sisters. This is also our desire. And that is also the call, perhaps, in this morning hour. Not my call, but the call of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I want to say, and Brother Frank has already emphasized it, not that we want to lead anybody. We can't. But I want to say, we only come in weakness and say these words with fear and trembling. And I want to say with Paul, as we heard last night from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I have come to you in weakness, even in fear and trembling. And so it is with us. You know, if I may say, when I think of the services, when they are to start, then we stand there with fear and trembling. We sometimes don't know what to say. Sometimes everything remains hidden from us. But you know, when the hour comes and we have to open our mouths, you know, sometimes afterwards I'm so grateful and I can only thank God and say, oh Lord, how gracious you were again in this hour. For who am I? Who are my brothers? Who are we to bring forth anything? I tell you, we do not wish to bring forth anything of ourselves, nor do we care to bring forth anything from ourselves. We want him to come to his right. In every hour, in every meeting, when we come together, so that his word can take shape in us until we are transformed for his glorious day, for his appearing. Brothers and sisters, I once said it in this way, but I know he will carry us through. And I want to emphasize again, we do not come here with prepared words, or with great wisdom, or with speeches of wisdom, such as are found perhaps in our day after the manner of men. We come here with bent hearts, bent minds, even like those who possess nothing. Our desire is only that the Holy Spirit would then enter into us and guide and lead us. Brothers and sisters, and I may tell you, he has done it. He has been gracious to us until this hour. He has always helped us. For who are we? Do we know how to speak? Do we have anything to show? Actually, nothing. We are the poorest of the poor. And what can we bring? But I will say this. I praise the grace of my God. I praise the Lord with all my heart. And I trust him. And I give thanks to him that he has helped us. And also my dear brother, I want to keep to his word and say only what the Holy Scripture says. Everything else is null and void anyway, and has no value and will not last. But what his word says is eternal, and it will remain throughout all eternity. I am so grateful, brothers and sisters, for all these comforting words that we have been able to read today. We know that sometimes it is a short word, but nevertheless, it is his word. And for that, we are so glad and so grateful. We could read on, But I think we have heard enough, and we owe him thanks. Even this morning, we are to enter, as we have heard, into his gates with thanksgiving and with songs of praise, brothers and sisters, and let us do so at all times while we are here on earth. Will you do it? Will I do it? Oh yes. You know, we have nothing to bring. Everything is the Lord. And so let us honor him anew and exalt his name. Let us stand and worship him. We thank you together, O God, for this grace we have to be able to come before you like this, O Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your powerful word. We thank you for the guidance and leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for my brothers, for all the sisters, for all who have come. Oh, would you bless them all, O God. Let no one go from here unblessed, Lord. Lord, receive the worship, receive the praise from our hearts and mouths, O Lord. For you alone are worthy to receive the praise and the worship. And you alone are worthy to receive the worship and the praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we are so glad and thankful that we may walk with you day by day until we come from believing unto seeing. Hallelujah. Would you continue to be with us in our homes, in our families? O Lord, we pray not in vain, Lord. Come, Lord, work something, reshape something, O Lord. We know, Lord, you will do everything in due time, Lord. To your name be glory and worship for this. So, Lord, dismiss us in blessing and continue to be with us, is my fervent prayer. Glory to your wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.